Bob was full of mischief on the best of days. I didn't let him out except on specific intelligence-gathering missions anymore. And while he often pestered me to let him out on one of his perverted mini-rampages, he had never asked permission to leave his skull for the duration of a chat. "Sure," I told him. "Stay inside the lab and be back in the skull at the end of this conversation." "Right," Bob said. A small cloud of glowing motes of light, the size of campfire sparks, came sailing out of the skull's eyes and darted to the far corner of the lab. "So, anyway, when are we going to work on the new blasting rod?" "Bob," I said, "we're talking about the word of Kemmler." The lights shot restlessly over to the other side of the lab, swirling through the steps on my stairladder in a glowing helix. "You're talking about the word of Kemmler," Bob said. The glowing clouds stretched, motes now spiraling up and down the stairs simultaneously. "I'm working on my Vegas act. Look it, I'm DNA. Would you stop goofing around? Can you remember anything at all about Kemmler?" Bob's voice quavered, the motes becoming a vague cloud again. "I can." "Then tell me what you know."
"Is that a command?"
I blinked. "Do I have to make it one?"
"You don't want to command me to remember, Harry."
"Why not?" I demanded. The cloud of lights drifted in vague loops around the lab.
"Because knowledge is what I am. Losing my knowledge of what I knew of Kemmler took away a big piece of my existence, like if someone had cut off your arm. What's left of what I know of Kemmler is close to the missing pieces."
I thought I started to understand him. "It hurts." The lights swirled uncertainly.
"It also hurts. It's more than that."
"If it hurts," I said, "I'll stop, and you can forget it again when we're done talking."
"But,"
Bob said, "it's a command, Bob. Tell me." Bob shuddered. It was a bizarre sight. The cloud of lights shivered for a second, as if in a trembling breath of wind, and then abruptly just shifted, flickering to one side as quickly as if I'd been looking at it with one eye closed and suddenly switched to the other.
"Kemmler," Bob said.
"Right." The lights came to rest on the other end of the table in the shape of a perfect sphere.
"What do you want to know, wizard?"
I watched the lights warily, but nothing seemed all that wrong, other than the fact that Bob was suddenly calm and geometric. "Tell me what the word of Kemmler is." The lights pulsed scarlet.
"Knowledge, truth, power."
I said, "a little more specific?"
"The master wrote down his teachings, wizard, so that those who came after him could learn from him, could learn about the true power of magic."
"You mean," I said, "so that they could learn about necromancy?" Bob's voice took on the edge of a sneer.
"What you call magic is nothing but a mound of parlor tricks beside the power to master life and death itself."
"That's an opinion, I guess," I said.
"More than that," Bob said, "it is a truth. A truth that reveals itself to those who seek it out."
"What do you mean?" I said slowly. There was a flash, and a pair of white eyes formed in the glittering cloud of red points of light. They weren't pleasant.
"Shall I show you the start of the path?" Bob's voice said. "Death, Dresden, is a part of you. It is woven into the fabric of your being. You are a collection of pieces, each of them dying, and in turn being reborn and remade."
The white lights were cold, not mountain spring cold either, graveyard mist cold, but I'd never seen anything quite like them before. And there was no sense interrupting Bob when he was finally spilling some information. Besides, fascinating light.
"Dead flesh adorns you even now. Nails, hair,
You tend them and caress them like any other mortal. Your women decorate them, entice with them. Death is not a thing to be feared, boy. She is a lover who waits to take you into her arms. You can feel her if you know what her touch is like. Cold, slow, sweet. He was right. A cold, tingling, non-feeling was glittering over my fingernails and my scalp. For a second, I thought that it hurt, but then I realized that it was only a shivering sensation where that cold energy brushed close to the blood pulsing beneath my skin. It was where they met that it felt uncomfortable. Without the blood, the cold would be a pure, endless sweetness.
Take a little of death inside, boy, and it would lead you to more. Open your mouth.
I did. I was staring at the light in any case, and it was amazing enough to merit a bit of gaping. I barely noticed a frozen mote of dark blue light, like the corpse of a tiny star, that appeared from one of the spirit's white eyes and began drifting toward my mouth. The cold sensation grew, and it hit my tongue like a thermonuclear peppermint, freezing hot, searingly bitter and sweet and wrong. I spat it out, recoiling, throwing my arms up in front of my face. I fell to the floor, numbness spreading.
Too late, crowed the spirit.
It shot into the air, swirling around over me, gloating.
Whatever you have done to my thoughts, the master will not be pleased that you have meddled with his servant.
The cold started spreading, and it wasn't purely physical. There was an empty, heartless void to it, a starless, frozen quality that raked at me, not just my body, but me, with a mindless hunger. And I could feel it sending tendrils out through me, slowing my heartbeat, making it impossible to breathe.
Do you know how long I've been waiting for that? The spirit purred, drifting back and forth over me. Sitting there, locked behind my own thoughts, waiting for the chance to fight free. Finally, you thick-witted ogre, I get to leave your stupidity behind.